Hello and welcome to our program. We continue in our series in the Old Testament prophets. We're looking at the prodigal prophet. His name was Jonah. Well, we're looking at the prodigal prophet. Today we'll continue not only with the prodigal prophet, but the presence of the Lord, the plan of the Lord, the persuasion of the Lord, and the purpose of the Lord. Before we look at that, though, listen to this message and song. I really like this message. The Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Yes, the
reading in Jonah chapter 1 verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the price thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now we see here twice we have that phrase, the presence of the Lord. Jonah was a prophet, had been a prophet for a long time, very well-known prophet, as a matter of fact, and he knew perfectly well you're not going to flee from the presence of the Lord. He knows those verses in the Psalms and the Proverbs that talk about you can't get away from the presence of the Lord anywhere. What is this referring to? Well, if a king commands for someone to come in his presence to give them instructions, that's what it's talking about here. It's talking about Jonah coming before God to get some instructions in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 95 and verse 2, Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Let us kneel down before the Lord. Verse 6, verse 7 says, Let us hear his voice. Now, they're in his presence, whether they're out in the garden or whether they're at work, but it's talking about here to come together before the Lord, and they're going to come before his presence with thanksgiving, going to make a joyful noise, going to kneel down before the Lord and hear his voice. Psalm 100, verse number 2, it says, Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So it's referring to coming before the presence of God to receive instructions. That should be why we go to church. Well, the Bible says that in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse number 25, that Jonah did that. It says he restored in the past. It says that God restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah. So they had quite a revival back there. It's recorded in 2 Kings chapter 14, when Jonah was doing what the Lord said to do. So, yeah, come before the Lord, come before his presence. I have some instructions for you, Jonah. I want you to go to the coast there of Israel, and I want you to preach to those Israelites. And Jonah says, yes, I'm going to do that. Away we go. Now, he calls him back again. He says here in verse number 2 of Jonah chapter 1, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Nineveh? That's the Assyrians. They're wicked. Yeah, that's what God just said. Their wickedness has come before me. Yeah, but they're Gentiles. No, I am not going to do that. And so he's ready to receive instructions to do things that he wants to do. But if God's going to tell him to do something that Jonah doesn't want to do, he's not going to do it. I wonder, is that a picture of maybe what is happening in your life today? You know, that we said before, this whole book of Jonah, all the other prophets, the focus is on the message. Jonah, the entire book, the focus is on the man, so that we could get a look at it like we're looking in a mirror and say, how does this reflect back with me? Am I willing to do the Lord's will as long as I'm willing to do the Lord's will? Am I willing to do the Lord's will when I don't want to do it that way or that place? Jonah said no. So he arose, it says, and he fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And on that trip, we read, he went down. We also read, he paid the price. Well, we see the presence of the Lord. The prodigal says, no, I know that God has a plan, but I don't want to hear about that plan. So he runs in the opposite direction. Well, we read in verse number 2, arise and go to Nineveh, and the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. He didn't want to go, so we read here that, okay, you're going to get some persuasion from the Lord, and that is the boat is about to sink. They are in a tremendous storm here. The boat's falling apart. Well, the Bible says in Psalm 107, verse number 25, for he, that is God, commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. I'm going to give you some stormy wind to see if I can persuade you to do what I have told you to do. Well, you know, sometimes stormy wind has to do with just helping us to get stronger, and sometimes it's a wake-up call like it is for Jonah, saying, are you going to listen to me or not? Well, he's sound asleep in the boat. No, I'm not going to listen to you. In fact, the sailors have to come to him and wake him up. So we see the prodigal, we see the presence of the Lord, the plan of the Lord, the persuasion of the Lord. And as we said, the whole purpose of this book is the focus is on the man. And 18 times in this little book of 4 chapters, we read the word Jonah. The focus is on him. Now, Joel, that was a prophet that God had. He's mentioned one time in the whole book. Obadiah, Micah, Amos, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Malachi. They're all mentioned once except for Habakkuk. He is mentioned twice. Why? Because back here in those prophets, the book that was written there, the purpose of the book was for us to realize what God had to say to his people, what he had to say to Israel. This is the focus on the man, this book of Jonah, and God says, I want you to focus, like I said, like you're looking in a mirror and see what I have for you. These things are written for our admonition, the Bible says. Well, they throw him overboard, and he's going down, heading into the bottom. Now, you remember, he had said to them, I am a Hebrew. Well, he's a Hebrew, just about to be swallowed up by that big fish. So what is the conclusion of this situation? Well, Romans chapter 15, verse number 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And so what can we learn from this? Are we willing to come before the presence of the Lord and hear His instructions for us today? Are we willing to follow the plan of the Lord? Or are we going to have some persuasion from the Lord? It's great that He gives us a second chance, and He sure did give Jonah a second chance, and He will us too if we would just repent of our sin. Jonah had the second chance, and he still didn't repent. We'll see that as we go through this book. Well, the persuasion, the way of the transgressor is hard, it says in Proverbs 13 and verse number 5. That word transgressors in Proverbs 25 and verse number 19 has been translated unfaithful. It talks there about an unfaithful man in the time of trouble. And so, what is the bottom line? The bottom line is this. It is God's plan that we be found faithful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 2, it is required that we be found faithful. So think about your position today. Are you a husband? Be found faithful unto the Lord in doing what God wants you to do. Are you a father? And ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's God's purpose for your life as a father. Are you a grandfather? Are you a servant? Are you on the job? How about a leader in the home? If you're in the home as a leader, that would be mom or dad. How about the leader in the church? Pastor, it is required that we be found faithful, and to be found faithful is doing what God wants us to do the way He wants us to do it, and not running the other way because we don't want to do it that way or in that particular manner. Well, what's your position? Maybe you're a wife, maybe a mother, grandmother. Your position in the home is to find God's purpose in the scriptures for the wife, for the mother. It's all there. It's all very plain what our responsibilities are and our purpose for being in this world. It is very plain. Well, it was very plain to Jonah, too, and he said, no, I am not going to do it. What do you say? Listen to this message and song. Make it your prayer, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me as a Christian, O Lamb of God, I come. Maybe you need to come to the Lord today and say, I have not been running in the direction you want me to run. With your help, I will do it.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting now, soul of one dark plot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as